The Hand of Brass. Episode 9, Worlds Collide. In the king's private study, between the stacks of Berenia's history, Brannock idly toyed with a large spinning globe. His eyes wandered over shelf after shelf of his country's bloody legacy, now couched in such elegant bindings, but his eyes were unfocused. He was far more intent on listening to the history unfolding behind him. He wasn't eavesdropping as such. He had been invited, but there was something intimate about the comfortable stuffed chairs pressed in close to the fireplace where Cromwell and Diala sat in conversation. The formal elegance of the rest of the castle had been worn here, lived in. This was a place for private matters, and it showed. It was a good thing Brannock wasn't the type of orc to ever feel out of place. In his experience, third wheels only made the journey smoother.
In short, I wish to abdicate the throne to you. I am no king, your highness. I am a horse farmer that was caught in the winds of it all. You were groomed for a lifetime to attend these duties and would be far better suited.
I do understand your reasoning, but abdicating the throne to me now would likely throw the kingdom into another civil war. Though my father was corrupted by this Alamandian mirror, his brutality has left a scar on Berenia's people. They will not simply accept that his daughter would not go down the same path.
The people are already split with Cromwell on the throne. Half believe he is the rightful ruler and that you, your highness, should be executed. While others believe that the ancient law of slaying a king to gain successorship does not apply because there was no issued challenge nor official witnesses. They see Cromwell with no rights to the throne because of his lack of noble blood or pedigree. So we may have strife either way.
Cromwell shifted in his chair uncomfortably. Talking to the princess about the murder of her father like it was nothing more than a political power play did not sit well with him. Even if it was the mirror's enchantment, he felt he should have been able to overcome it. King Leontes should have stood trial for his crimes.
Well, then what can we do? I clearly can't rule this nation properly, and the person who can is hated by half of the people. And that hatred alone could spark violence and bloodshed.
What if we met in the middle?
What do you mean?
Well, the people, on the whole, love you. Although there is division about your right to the crown, you did save the nation. And at the end of the day, they will follow your judgment. However, most nobles and many among the merchant class will work to erode your ability to rule long term unless you can be legitimized. I propose a proposal. Cromwell, you marry the princess, she rules the kingdom, and you're still the poster child, peasant king we all know and love.
Excuse me?
That might actually work. The people hang on your every word, Cromwell. You are the orc who rose from nothing to become the most powerful man in the nation overnight. Our marriage would allow me to relieve you of the duties you are unequipped for, while legitimizing you to work at unifying the citizenry.
Cromwell sat with his mouth agape, marrying the princess? He was nothing more than a farmer. She was a woman of breeding and elegance. She was a towering orc with a dramatic figure, sleek and powerful, forceful yet refined like an elegant weapon, the very model of orcish desire. Cromwell blushed and stared into the fire, but he couldn't deny he was rapidly warming to the idea. He looked over to see Brannock smugly raising a knowing eyebrow.
Your country needs you.
Last time you said that.
Oh, hush. It worked out. It will work out.
You can't shush a king?
Yes. Once you're legitimate, I guess I'll have to stop.
Diala laughed, a musical lilt like a babbling river. Cromwell's flush returned and he forced himself to look into her eyes, which he suddenly noticed were very blue.
I am honored, your highness. I will, of course, if that is what you wish. But there is a matter I would like to attend to before we wed. There is something I must do first.
Selene paced back and forth through the courtyard in a fury. What is wrong, Selene?
I'm so frustrated, Decius. All of this is my fault. That woman, that maid of honor, Natalia, got the better of me. She was so much faster than me, so strong. I've never felt so weak in my life. We're roughly the same build. I do not understand how she could have overtaken me like I was a defenseless child.
She was a woman of skill and training, Selene.
And I'm not?
Well, not in the martial arts. You're more honed in magic and history.
Yes, but I should have been quicker to assess that she was the main threat and dealt with her.
Celine, calm down. You were beaten down, but survived. You are the victor.
But we almost lost Elric. If I had stopped Natalia, then he would have had someone watching his back.
You can't blame yourself for what happened. Elric is going to be fine.
It was then that Celine realized Elric was steadying himself on a tree at the far end of the courtyard.
Elric! How much of that did you hear? I was just talking to myself. I sometimes call myself Decius.
Sorry, Celine. I didn't even realize you were...
Are you all right? You look pale. You should sit down. I once had a friend who looked like that, and when they didn't sit down right away, wham! Face first into the dirt and hit his head on a rock, giving himself a concussion. And with your arm in a sling like that, I don't think you'll catch yourself.
I don't even know where to begin. I found my daughter.
You did? That's great! Where is she? Who is she?
The king's physician. She calls herself Raven.
What did you say? Did you tell her you're her father?
How would you start that conversation? 30 years have come and gone. She has aged. I have not. She looks so much like her mother. Even sounds like her, too. When I awoke to her tending my wounds, she looked so familiar.
Elric.
I would like to be left alone, if that's all right.
Of course.
Although she wanted to stay and comfort Elric, Celine took her leave. Elric sat on a bench and stared into a bushel of peonies. His heart hurt, ached. He missed everything. His little girl is all grown up. He was proud to see what she had become, but filled with sorrow that through no fault of his own, he'd missed every moment of her life.
You are the Mistwalker.
What? I'm Elric, Stormshield. At your service, sir. And you are?
I am called Constantine, follower and seer of the great beyond. I have come to give you a message. You are a traveler of ages, freed from the treacherous mists of Terendia by a man with the hand of brass. Though 30 years have passed, you have not aged.
Yes. How did...
Follow the man with the hand of brass, and when he needs you the most, that's when you will be his guide. Bring with you your soul, and when the dust begins, go where your heart is. Feel warmth, my friend. Your daughter will know the truth soon enough. I have seen it. The tragedies you have experienced in such a short time makes my heart weep. You have much resilience and strength, Elric Mistwalker. You truly are a marvel to behold.
The air was crisp, and dew dripped from the grass as Duncan, Celine, and Elric packed their steeds, preparing for the journey to the Sanctus Mountains. From across the outer ward, Cromwell rode up to meet them.
You are most kind to give us these fine horses.
For your aid in saving the princess, it is the least I can do. Though this is not a send-off, I'm coming with you. Instead of giving you a mere royal seal, I'll be your guide and access to the mountains. If what you say is true, and the Alamendians are also after the scroll, they must be on their way to the Sanctus Mountains as well, and must be stopped.
It is a generous offer, but mightn't your travel raise suspicion and additional notice?
I will be hooded and veiled with this scarf. Brannock feels it is the best mode of disguise.
Elric, I know I've already tried to convince you to stay here and heal up, but perhaps we should find you a weapon that requires just one hand. You can't swing your axe with such a wound.
His Highness gifted me with a sword. Though it's been some time, swordplay is just like riding a horse. You never forget. Never in my wildest imaginings did I dream I'd be dining and riding with royalty.
Never did I think I would interrupt a wedding, but here we are. Let's ride!
The group rode west for 3 days, passing countryside, rolling hills, and immense redwood trees. They would camp under the stars at night in its circle of fire, telling tales of old. Eventually, they arrived at the large city of Andarios, at the base of the Sanctus Mountains. It was a city bustling with trade and merrymaking. This city served as a stopping point before taking the pilgrimage to the Temple of Waylon. Stabling their horses, the group walked about the city. As they picked their way through a crowded street, Duncan's backpack suddenly ripped open, spilling all of its contents to the ground.
Shit!
Gathering the fallen items, they moved to a less busy alleyway.
I know a good place to get this fixed. It should be this way.
Oh, I just realized something. I'll catch up with you three. I need to gather some reagents and such from the market before we head up the mountain. I'll meet you back here in an hour.
Duncan, Elric, and Cromwell entered Anthony's General Goods and Travels, an establishment Cromwell suggested would be a fine place to repair or replace Duncan's bag. They were the only customers in the shop, which Cromwell thought was odd. When he was last here, they were up to their ears with patrons, but then again it had been during a time before King Leontes went mad. At the counter stood a middle-aged man with tied back hair and an apron.
"Come on in, gentlemen. Name's Winston. If you need anything, let me know. Oh, my apologies, gentlemen. If you would please leave your swords at the door. Pardon the inconvenience, but we've recently had an attempted robbery. We're still a bit skittish, if you catch my meaning."
The trio removed their swords and placed them by the door. Duncan then headed to the counter as Cromwell and Elric looked about the store.
"What can I do for you, sir? Oh, my bag ripped open. I'm hoping it's not beyond repair. Let's have a look down and see what I can do for you." No, that's not good. I'd recommend you purchase a new one, Curtis. We have a bunch of different stuff."
There was a pause. Duncan and the shopkeeper stared at each other. Winston's eyes were wide and mouth agape. Suddenly, both sprang from the counter. Duncan bolted for the door and his waiting sword. The shopkeeper pulled a scimitar from the pantry and leapt the counter after him. Duncan spun back just in time and their blades clashed. He locked their guards and, taking the wrist of Winston's sword arm in his offhand, stepped back, putting his weight into a sudden yank. As Winston fell forward, Duncan pushed the tangle of swords aside and thrust the crown of his skull into the bridge of Winston's nose, dropping him in an unconscious heap. He tossed the shopkeep's sword to Cromwell, who nearly fumbled it in surprise.
"What the hell is going on?
Why did he attack?"
"He's not the shopkeep."
"What makes you say that?"
"I never gave him my name."
"But he didn't call you by your name. He called you Curtis."
"We need to leave now, before more show up."
"We aren't going anywhere until you explain what's going on."
"My birth name is Curtis Westman. I used to be a knight of Sendium."
"Sendium. So you are one of the traitors."
"Traitors? Since when was Sendium a traitorous nation?"
"It's complicated. Long story short, in the war with Elemendia, Elemendia invaded Sendium and gave us no choice but to join or be destroyed."
"That choice nearly won Elemendia the war! Sendium's coasts were a key supply route in the Trail of Iron."
"Sendium's queen knew no allies would get to us in time, so she joined to save her people. This was a betrayal to Attalus and Berenia. It forced us to fight alongside Elemendia."
"So who is this man, then? Why did he attack you?"
"In joining with the enemy, I was conscripted and trained with their knights. Rising through the ranks, I became an Elemendian spy. Then in the Iron Hall city in Attalus, there was a great massacre."
"The slaughter of the Trisanians. They killed thousands of innocents, civilians, children!"
"Duncan, did you?"
"No. As soon as I realized what was happening, I defected. I changed my name and went into exile. This man is part of a group of revengists, survivors, who hunt the knights who participated in the slaughter."
"But you didn't participate."
"Elemendian documents place me as a participant, but there are no records of my defection."
"This isn't your first run-in with these people, is it?"
"No, and they're never keen to listen. We have to find Selene and get out of here. This place is no longer safe."
Selene pressed her way back through the bustling throng. Searching through the stalls, she desperately hoped she could find the right materials to craft a new pendant. Spotting a likely stall, she began feeling out the crystals, seeking one that could transmute into a casting focus. She settled on a jade crystal with white striations. She passed the merchant a handful of ducats and turned to leave. Then a tall man with raven black hair and a sword with a crescent moon pommel on his hip caught her eye as he made his way through the bazaar. He was an imposing yet handsome gentleman. His stride spoke of hidden elegance. Celine's attention was then brought to a woman walking up behind him, who pulled a dagger from her cloak, staring intently at the gentleman.
"Look out!"
Acting quickly, Celine focused her magical energy on the crystal and shot a burst of concussive force at the woman, knocking her down. The tall man looked at Celine, then looked behind him to see the fallen woman scrabbling to get up. The tall man drew his sword and stabbed the assassin in the gut. Out of the crowd, more and more assailants appeared, all with weapons drawn. Celine ran to the tall man and stood in front of him. Releasing her chain, she whipped it wide around them, forcing the assailants back.
"Come this way!"
Celine grabbed the man's hand and led him down an alleyway.
"I appreciate the assistance. You may very well have saved my life."
"You can thank me when we're clear of this place."
"May I know the name of my savior?"
"Sorceress Celine Lemaine, at your service."
"Sir Branador, at yours."
Hey there, thanks for listening. If you really enjoyed what you heard, leave a rate and review, and keep up to date with us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at The Hand of Brass. And if you want to support us further, check out our Patreon. You can get exclusive access to bonus footage, behind the scenes, interviews, and more. Thanks again for listening.